On this episode of Still Loading, music! Glorious music! Woo-hoo-hoo.
This is Josh.
And we're doing our little mini podcast this week.
Minisode.
Minotaur-sode. last week we talked about the role and importance of music in video games. So this week we're going to talk a little bit more personal and discuss...
More so than we did last week.
Yeah, and discuss our favorite video game soundtrack.
We'll just rattle it off right now. Mine is the Journey soundtrack, which you heard me rave about it on the last episode, so it's not really much of a surprise.
And mine, for those who haven't listened to our podcast last week, is Chrono Trigger from the Super Nintendo.
I guess to start it all off, we're just going to talk about what exactly we like the most. Let's break it down like this. What our favorite track is from the album, and then from the soundtrack, I mean, and then what our favorite moment in the game was with, like, combined with music. So, let's start off with you since you're hosting this one.
All right. So, my favorite track of the game, and the way I'm gonna rate this is that. The reason this is my favorite is because when I think of Chrono Trigger, this is a song that immediately pops into my head, and it's Chrono's theme. Most triumphant sounding theme I have ever heard for a video game, and it's used sporadically throughout the whole game, and the times they choose to use it are perfect. So we're gonna have to play some clips of all of these.
We'll put clips in.
So Chrono's theme, and then
And I'll even comment, since I played Chrono Trigger, what some of my favorite parts in it were.
Yeah, definitely. And then the second part, which was, like, say it again, it was when our favorite...
The favorite time, like, the most memorable part of the game that music, like, when you hear that song, you remember exactly the part of the game you were at.
Gotcha.
That's the best way to describe
it. Yeah. For Chrono Trigger, mine, there's so many, but... I think the one that stands out the most is Magus's battle theme. Like, Magus is this dark wizard type dude that you need to fight. And leading up to him is just this dark, ominous, red carpeted hallway. And the candles light up as you pass through it.
I remember that now.
Yeah, exactly. And as soon as you fight him, it's like one of the best boss battle themes ever.
We'll include a little clip of it in here.
Yeah, just so you can feel the ambiance. Those are mine. Josh, you want to talk
what
about
I remember
bit?
About it was that I only had a couple. I don't remember the name of the theme. I did mention it, but
Gato's theme?
Yeah. When the little mini boss in the fair that you fight for money, I loved his theme.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but I really like. It's not that is my favorite song in the soundtrack. It was just it's such a fun, like, I don't know. It's almost like victory music from Final Fantasy, but it's like I from what I remember anyway. We'll play a clip of that as well. We're gonna have lots of sample clips in here.
We got to for this one.
We got toast.
We got toast, yo.
That was a horrible joke. I'll file that. I love that. And then I think my favorite moment in it was the corridors of time when you're up. Yep. Where are you at? I can picture the area, but I don't remember what it's called. I know you're. It's almost like the ancients. They remind me of that from Final 7.
Yeah, and it's the whole island is up in the sky. It's a floating island.
I loved that area.
Yeah,
I thought it was great. Because I remember you even can talk to them, and there's like a bunch of little secrets hidden in there too. Yep. It's a really fun area. That I think the main reason that sticks out to me though is called Smooth McGroove did that cover of it, and I ended up loving it.
His covers are so good.
I like his cover more than the original because the original kind of like his is like bum 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 ba da dum bum 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 ba da dum, and it sounds more melodic better than I did it. Mm-hmm. And then the game version is like
limitations of the sound chip.
I know. So yeah, limitations of the sound chip, but it's cool to hear what he took out of that and then changed it to work. I loved it. I just loved it. And so then I can even listen to the original Super Nintendo, not NES, SNES version of it, and I started to enjoy that as well. So
yeah, well, I mean, Smooth McGroove's version is so smooth, living up to his name.
Smooth like butter.
To Gato's theme and just how Chrono Trigger does this in general, they really break up the monotony of RPGs and using music to their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Gato's like battle is really just to mine some coins for the fair, and just throwing that little theme that's different from the rest of the game just kind of makes it a little like. It's still monotonous, but it makes it a little bit more enjoyable to beat his butt every
time. On a game design standpoint, it's kind of smart because that teaches the player the aspects of combat without putting any pressure on them.
Yeah, exactly.
So it ends up being really nice.
Yep.
Anything else you want? I mean, this is a short episode. We're just kind of doing a bare bones. Like, maybe it might only be like 10 minutes long. It's just a mini-sode.
If we want to stick on Chrono Trigger, I would. The biggest takeaway from the music is that this is a point in time where, you know, like we discussed last week, where video game music's really on the upswing
mm-hmm.
in the Super Nintendo. And to me, Chrono Trigger's music, it's the best of both worlds. Like, it used the melody era of, like, the Nintendo, the Super Nintendo, but it also grabbed the ambiance of the game that mm-hmm. these next-gen consoles do so well.
And it's funny, like, alright, so for those who don't know, my girlfriend is not into games at all. However, on that note, she doesn't like gaming. She doesn't like NES and chiptune music in general. She just, mm-hmm. She doesn't care for it. For those who haven't heard of it, check out a YouTube channel called Player Piano. They do, there's a little short they did called Nintendo on the Spot, where they take classic NES songs, and she does an arrangement in under 2 minutes of that song and on the piano. And when you can kind of, like, get out of, like, the, like, when you don't hear it in its chiptune format, and you hear it on an actual instrument, not a digital one, it still sounds, like, good on the chiptune. I'm not trying to say it doesn't. Like, I love chiptune music, but hearing it on the piano and seeing my girlfriend's face when she heard it, she's like, I actually like this. Like, this is really, really good. Like, this is actual music to me now, which, to me, that kind of kills me a little bit on the inside, because I think chiptune music is actual music.
It's but, the like, best music.
But then when I would, like, and it even brings it back, like, if I would play, like, Chrono Trigger music to her, like, with On Smooth McGroove, she would be like, oh, I mean, I think mainly because it was, like, a cappella stuff, but I've played some of her Smooth McGroove stuff. I think it might have been the Chrono Trigger one, too, when I didn't tell her it was a video game. Like, just check out this song, they had it. And she loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. It was... Chrono Trigger... It was a late Super Nintendo game, right? What year did that come out?
Yeah.
Was it 95? 94?
Yes.
96. I don't...
One of those years. So you know what? 4, 5, or 6.
Look
that ish up. Google!
So we don't get flagged down by the trolls.
But, yeah, while Josh is looking that up, Chrono Trigger just... All the music from... for those who haven't played the game, I highly suggest you play
95.
There we go.
August 22nd, to be specific.
them statistics.
According to the Wikipedia's. Wikipedia.
But, for those who haven't played the game, the premise of it is that the main character, Chrono, and, like, his party... end up hopping through times.
Huh, go figure with a name like Chrono.
Yeah, so it's a kind of like a time travel RPG. So with that, you go to the past, like a medieval type setting. You go all the way to prehistoric times. You go to the future with robots. You know, and everywhere in between. And each overworld for that time period has specific music to go along with it.
It does a really good job of creating the atmosphere for each world, too.
Absolutely.
Each time zone.
Like, probably the one that stands out to me the most that really captures it is the future, where it's after Lavos comes crashing down.
Yeah, and you see what the world after the
aftermath. Yeah, and they're in, like, an ice age, and the music's so chilling and quiet, and it's...
You ever notice how, like, Square did that really well with their older RPGs? Like, Chrono Trigger, I even can point back, like, we talked about on our PlayStation thing with the Final Fantasy VII music. The, like, when you have, I think of a perfect moment, the first time I played it, when Sephiroth finds out that he's, like, just a clone of Genova. Spoiler alert! Clone of Genova cells. And you are playing as, well, Cloud's interpretation of himself. You know later it wasn't him. Actually, no, it was him.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, you run down the steps of the Shinra Manor in Nibelheim, and all you hear is boom, boom, boom,
yeah.
Boom. Dun, 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 boom, boom, boom. It's just the ambiance. And, like, and that came out in 97, only 2 years after Chrono Trigger, if you really think about it. And, wow, only 2 years after
Chrono Trigger. I know,
that's
great.
That's nuts. But in any case, like, it's amazing to see how far they've come. Like, the music and the ambiance is just so well done, and you can hear it.
Yep. Well, yeah, and to me, that's how you know, like, a video game soundtrack got it right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you think of a specific point of time in the game, and the music just is right there, you don't have to be like, what was that song again? No, when you remember that scene, you remember that music.
Oh, yeah. Do you have anything left for Chrono Trigger? Otherwise, we can...
No, sir. Just that, to me,
it's great. It is a very good soundtrack.
Listen to it if you get the chance.
So, on to our next subject. We're going on to my favorite, Journey.
Which I, sadly, have yet to play.
That's changing.
Yes.
It's a 2-hour game. You have no excuse!
This is true. This is very true. So, maybe I'll play it tonight. Who knows?
But, alright, so, Journey.
Thank you.
right, so Journey, my favorite track on it, I would have to say, is Naissance, the theme, which you just heard.
It was beautiful, man.
It's just so beautiful. So beautiful. There's actually, there's one other that I really like, but I couldn't remember the name, and I was trying to search for it, but I couldn't remember the name, like I said. But in any case, Naissance, which is track one on the soundtrack, is one of my favorite tracks. Like, just, I remember when I first played Journey, I used to work at a coffee shop, I was a barista, and when it was slow, I would just find myself whistling that melody all the time. And then as for my favorite moment within a game would be the song, let me see, Apotheosis. I think I pronounced that correctly, Apotheosis. That is played at the finale of the game. And at this point in the game, for those who don't know, your character, it's not too much of a spoiler alert, I guess. I mean, there's not much of a story. You play for the experience more than the story.
That's what I've seen.
Which the story is good, don't get me wrong. And the story is so cool because there's no dialogue. It's all shown through gameplay and pictures.
Right.
And it's all how you interpret it. That's why Journey is such an amazing game. And what ends up happening is that your character, for one reason or another, ends up shooting up into the heavens. And you hear all this crazy hectic string music, and like at the same time in the game, in while you're watching your character, like your cloaked character, shoot up into the heavens, there's like monsters swirling around, not attacking him, but like you don't know that, and you're swirling up and you shoot up into the heavens, and that's where the music breaks. You hear a bit of silence, you just hear maybe a little bit of like a high string just kind of playing, just to keep the sound a little bit there. And then it comes in with, like, a melody that... something like that. I'll play it. But then it starts off really quiet. And as you progress through this heaven stage, it gets louder and more instruments come into the arrangement. And things just... And until you... It comes to the end where there's this triumphant music. You have basically parted the heavens and you're up at the top. Like, you're... There's nothing higher than this point in heaven that you're at. And you're playing in this triumphant music is just blasting, and then you land on the top of the mountain, and as you start walking forward, you see this big valley, like you're in the middle of a valley, and there's a bright white light, and the music starts to fade out slowly, not really I guess the arrangement's slowly getting thinner too, like less instruments are in it, and the game ends with just you walking into whiteness, like into just bright, into light, and the music just kind of fades out there, and that's how the game ends. Sorry for those, I guess, big spoiler away after the fact.
The game ends? What?
Who knew? But no, like, it's, I can describe it, but you won't know what it's like until you play it. And it is just like, that song is so perfect for that scene. Like, I was listening to it earlier today, and listening to it, I could picture exactly what was happening in the game. Like, I could hear the progression of the song. I'm like, oh, I know where this is at in that level. And that's how you know when you have a good song.
Absolutely.
When you can remember specifically, whether in modern games where it's like, you know the progression of the level, because it'll adapt and change to the level. Or in older games where it may not adapt, but you still know exactly what was happening. Like Justin described earlier with Magus's theme, as you're walking through the castle, like he remembers specifically the first time he heard that, and how it made him feel, like, and like engulf him in the game.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Apotheosis, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, did for me with Journey. Like, it just encapsulated everything that was amazing about the game, the music, even the gameplay, because you use all your skills that you picked up throughout the short, like, hour and a half, hour and 45 you've been playing up into that, and it makes you feel so complete when you finish it. Like, it's almost like you died peacefully. Is the best way I can. I mean, that maybe maybe that's an interpretation of it, like that your character died peacefully. But it's it's absolutely fascinating. And I was listening to a podcast by one of my favorite comedians, Uncle Yo. He's a for those who don't know, Google him. He's a geek specific stand up comedian. He's pretty sweet. He did a podcast all on Journey, and he went through and broke down like how different religions could interpret this game. It was really fascinating. And I'm not going to get religious. I am a Christian. Nothing. No, that's all I'm going to say with it. Not going to drop it for the rest of it. But it was cool to hear his interpretation. He's Uncle Yo isn't a Christian. I don't know what he is. Don't care either.
Yeah.
But his interpretation would be also broken down to like Muslim and Islamic viewpoints. The mention, what is reincarnation? Is that Hindu or Buddhism?
I believe that's Buddhism.
Buddhism. Yeah. You can correct us. That's fine.
The only religion I really know is Christianity, so I'll probably butcher this.
But like, it was just fascinating because like, you could make a strong argument for reincarnation with this game. Like, when you see the ending, I won't spoil exactly how, but you can make a really strong argument for reincarnation of this game. Like, that's like what their goal is. And it's just, it is a fascinating game, like on every level of design and like gameplay and just everything. And the music just adds to it. The other piece that I was mentioning that I can't seem to remember, if I find it, I'll play it. If I can, but there's a sand surfing level, and you're striding down, and the music is just perfect for it.
Like, I remember that level, actually, from other people playing it.
I can't remember the song, what it's called, but it's got a phenomenal song to go along with it. So, but that is all I got on Journey. Do you remember any of what little you played?
I remember watching some of our friends play it. I specifically remember the sand surfing level, because that was awesome.
It was really fun.
Yeah, and it's one of those games I would say, I mean, at least from what I've heard the music from it, you know, if you just listen to the soundtrack, you're not getting the whole experience.
Not at all.
This is common for, I would say, like 99% of video game soundtracks anyway.
Yeah.
Unless you're playing the game and you listen to the music while you're playing it, you won't get the full experience just by listening to the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just throw my honorable mention out there, which would be the Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah, so we have honorable mentions of ones that were close but didn't quite make it. So what's yours?
Mine, a little bit of an underdog here, but Final Fantasy 13, the whole series, 1 through 3. It's one of the few games to me that I would actually go to a specific area so that song would come on. And it's one of those games where the music's so vast and different. Like, one area is completely different from the other one. And they have, you know, triggers where the music gets a little bit more aggressive. And they even label it on the soundtrack as aggressive mix, which I find funny. But, yeah, it's just one of those games where, you know, I could go say, hey, go listen to the new Budium, I forget how to pronounce it, but listen to the aggressive mix of that. It's an awesome song. And you go listen to it, and you're like, eh, it's not bad, but I don't really get it. But if you go and play the game, and, you know, you see the environment and what it was made for, you're like, hey, this is an awesome song.
It works with it very well. So, my honorable mention, it's actually a tie, but I won't go into a lot of detail with either of them for the sake of, you know, being fair. I was going to go with the Medal of Honor series. Like, I would say Medal of Honor Frontline specifically, and if I had to choose one, I love the soundtrack for that. There's a lot of music in that game that I really enjoy, and that and Final 7. I think I'm going to go with Medal of Honor, though, just because Final 7, I think I put on there for reasons. I think it's technically, like in terms of music and whatnot, I think technically it's more memorable, and it's got, takes more risks.
Yeah,
but absolutely. I like Medal of Honor's music more. I enjoyed it a lot more. I get, maybe it's nostalgia. Who knows? I think a lot of it might be nostalgia, but I love the soundtrack for those games.
Well, yeah, and that's another one of those games where, you know, it really captures the mood of the game, the essence of, you know, most of them deal with World War II?
Yes. Yeah. All, with the exception of the most recent two, which I don't think they're going to make any after, unfortunately. Well, the last one was Warfighter, and that one was okay. Mm-hmm. The one before that was just Medal of Honor. It was a clean reboot, but instead of World War II, it was modern day.
Yeah.
That actually was a fun game. I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I kind of enjoyed it.
Nice.
Yeah, but, like, Medal of Honor, I think I liked it so much because, like I was saying, like, I can remember where I was at certain spots in the game. I would constantly pop in the disc on my PS2 just to actually watch the credits on it because it had this awesome theme for Medal of Honor Frontline. I forget. I think it was Operation Market Garden was the name of the song named after the actual, you know, military operation, Operation Market Garden. And I don't know why, but I loved that song. It started out with, like, a haunting, like, choir. I think it definitely a male soprano because it was really high. But it was, like, this really beautiful melody that you would hear. And then it would, the strings would steadily come in. It took a long time for it to come in. Mm. You would basically, you would have the melody, and it would the melody would be played by each section. You would hear it, but it was quiet in each section. But you would hear it transfer throughout each section until it got to the end, and all of them would play it together. It was really nice. It was a really cool song to listen to.
Nice.
But that's all I got for this week.
Yeah. Say the only last thing I have is if you're curious about the Final Fantasy 13 soundtrack and to see how vastly different it is, check out, I think it's Final Fantasy 13 2 Limit Break. It is off the wall for a Final Fantasy game. It's a boss battle theme.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at least the singer. I'm not sure if like the whole band or whatever, but it's the same singer that did some music for the Devil May Cry series.
Okay.
So, just to kind of, like, see the variations between a Devil May Cry game and a Final Fantasy 13 game. But, yeah, if you're curious, check it out. I think you'll be... I don't know what the word is. I found it hysterical when I first went into a boss battle when this theme broke out. And I was like, this is a Final... what? Okay, but I'm rolling with it. I love it now. It's like one of my favorite songs.
That's what ends up happening sometimes.
Yep. So. But, yeah, that's all I got.
So. All right, guys. So, next week, well, we'll figure out what the topic is.
It'll be a surprise It'll to be, all of us.
Exactly. So have a good one.
Peace.